Support for Creatively Speaking comes from the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts and the listeners of WRTI.
Enduring works of architecture can be cultural monuments, from the Great Pyramids of Egypt to the Taj Mahal, from majestic Gothic cathedrals to sleek urban skyscrapers. But as civilization has evolved, so has the field of architecture and its purposes. A new exhibition in Philadelphia is demonstrating how American architects are reusing materials and space to address social needs. Now WRTI's Susan Lewis considers these changing ideas about architectural possibilities in Into the Open.
Around Philadelphia's Independence Mall are many examples of the evolution of American architecture, from modest 18th century Georgian houses to contemporary structures that house the Visitor Center and the National Constitution Center. But also, this month, visitors can walk up to, around, and even through a different kind of architecture. A life-size photograph of a tall fence stretching nearly 90 feet across in front of the Constitution Center. It represents the fence that in reality runs along the Mexican-U.S. border at Tijuana.
It's very engaging from an aesthetic standpoint. It also just highlights exactly what we foster here at the Constitution Center.
Linda Johnson is president and CEO of the Constitution Center, now co-hosting Into the Open, featuring the work of 16 architectural groups, displays of which are divided between the Constitution Center and the Slott Foundation, an organization that fosters artistic collaboration. Johnson says the show taps into the idea of citizenship and responsibility for making the community better, in this case, through architecture.
It's not necessarily architecture in the traditional sense of, you know, building buildings, but rather how buildings can have an impact on the community and how spaces can act in a way to coalesce communities.
The theory is that some social problems can be solved with a creative use of space, and some architects are doing just that. This observation led to the creation of this exhibition, which was chosen to represent the U.S. at last year's Venice Architectural Biennale. U.S. State Department's Cultural Programs Division Chief, Columbia Barras, acknowledges that this is an unusual show.
But that is what made it such an excellent showcase for us at the 11th Architecture Biennale in Venice, because it really provided a lot of insight into our society.
Insight into the way our society is approaching problems that are common throughout the world: poverty, crime, environmental issues, and diminishing resources. Project co-curator William Menking, executive editor of The Architect's Newspaper, says these solutions are developing from the ground up.
In a dialogue with the architect and those who are going to be served by the buildings or the plans or whatever it is that the project is creating.
The 16 exhibits include a vegetable and herb garden, as well as images and models documenting a range of structures and designs. $20,000 houses were built for a rural community in Alabama. A swimming pool was refashioned from an abandoned barge that architect Jonathan Kirschenfeld found in New Orleans.
And he turned this thing into a big bathtub, a huge swimming pool that had to be pulled up on a tug, it has no motor, from New Orleans. And then it's floated around the New York City waterfront for the summertime for kids to swim in.
Another example of how existing space and materials can be redefined is a temporary band shell created in a San Francisco park. Exhibition co-curator Aaron Levy is executive director and senior curator at the Slott Foundation.
They took 65 car hoods, they took over 1,000 plastic bottles, they took some computer parts, and they built a theatrical space for the public. And for the short time that it was on display, they redefined how that public space was used, how that public park could be used.
The exhibition itself has been repurposed to fit a new audience. Levy says at the Biennale,
we were highlighting in Venice 16 sites of conflict, 16 sites of socioeconomic disparity, environmental difficulty, and then highlighting how architects are mitigating the severity of those situations. And here we're trying to do something a little bit different. In Philadelphia, we're trying to address, in a certain sense, the future of the city.
Levy says that since 1950, Philadelphia has lost nearly 500,000 residents, leaving multiple abandoned buildings and empty lots. The models in this show, he says, could offer ideas to mitigate some of these social ills. No one project attempts to define what architecture is or should be, he says. But together, they illustrate a variety of possibilities.
And we're trying to go beyond building, so to speak, and define a building not just as a physical infrastructure, but also as a social relationship with a community.
Some displays visually depict social relationships, like Damon Rich's The Subsidized Landscape, an interactive model with miniature housing and government buildings connected by strings of lights to show how housing is financed by various government agencies. Rich, the founder of the Center for Urban Pedagogy, says architecture is too often viewed as a luxury for the rich.
But what I was really happy about this show is I think it takes really seriously the notion that design can be more than just a niche consumer good, and that design can really offer a whole set of tools for starting discussions around how we allocate our resources as a society.
And starting discussions is what this exhibition aims to do, beginning perhaps with The Fence on the Mall, which National Constitution Center President Linda Johnson hopes will prod the curious and prompt dialogue.
It is really about civic engagement, about what it means to be a citizen and take responsibility for making your community a better place.
Civic engagement has been a vital part of this nation since its founding, and William Menking says this kind of thinking about architecture is not as new as it may seem.
We didn't think of this as an historical exhibit when we began. We thought of it as a kind of contemporary issue. But then in thinking about it and trying to explain in different venues, we realized it's part of a longer dialogue, I would say, that probably started at the end of the 19th century, the beginning of the 20th century, when architecture began to engage with planning issues, for example, in the cities.
But still, floating pools, band shells from car hoods, and sustainable gardens. It's not your father's architecture, or even your great-great-grandfather's architecture, but it is emblematic of the American will, taking architectural skills and a pioneering spirit to conquer the wilderness of the 21st century urban landscape.
WRTI's Susan Lewis. Into the Open is at the National Constitution Center on Independence Mall and the Slott Foundation in West Philadelphia through September 7th.